8:55 Eastern Daylight Time, and Elmer Davis in the news, brought to you tonight by the Gillette Safety Razor Company. Just time to tell you that today's improved Gillette Blue Blade, made of steel hot enough to cut glass, has the sharpest edges ever produced. That's why it gives you the quickest, easiest shaves ever. Ask your dealer for Gillette Blue Blade.
The first day of the German blitzkrieg against the Low Countries seems to have met with only very moderate success. Both Dutch and Belgians are resisting fiercely, and the Belgians have already been reinforced by strong mechanized columns of British and French troops from the Western Front, responding to the call for help sent out by both small nations after they were invaded. The Dutch and Belgian high commands tonight flatly say the invasion has failed. German advance has been greatest where Holland and Belgium meet. They took the Dutch city of Maastricht, swarmed across the projecting tip of Dutch territory, and say they have taken some bridges on the Albert Canal in northern Belgium. Farther south, they claim to have occupied the town of Malmedy, lost to Belgium by the Treaty of Versailles. Attacks on France and Belgium through Luxembourg have been stopped so far at the frontier. The invasion of the Netherlands seems to have been held at the IJssel River, where the town of Arnhem has resisted German attacks. And many, if not most, of the parachute troops dropped all over Holland before dawn this morning have been mopped up by squads of Dutch machine gunners traveling in fast automobiles. The German claim this morning that the Dutch capital, The Hague, had been captured by troops landed on the beach was not correct. Dutch troops and warships repulsed them. Parachute troops dropped a few miles from Queen Wilhelmina's palace with the apparent intention of seizing the Dutch sovereign were stopped, our correspondent Edwin Hartrich reported in an earlier broadcast, by Dutch soldiers who fought them off in the tulip fields. Around Amsterdam, too, the parachute invaders seem to have been beaten off, but there is still fierce fighting going on in the streets of Rotterdam, the chief Dutch port. The German invasion was preceded by swarms of air raiders who attacked first, following the precedent set in Poland, Dutch and Belgian airfields, and also bombed far and wide over France. More than 20 French cities, ranging from Dunkirk and Calais on the Channel to Lyon in the south, were raided. And while apparently here, too, airfields, or in some cases radio transmitters, were the primary objective, the French government said that more than 50 civilians were killed. Raids on Paris and on the mouth of the Thames seemed to have been purely for reconnaissance, but incendiary bombs were dropped on a town in southeastern England. A raid on Brussels early this morning burned several apartment houses and killed civilians, but after a Belgian protest that Brussels was an open town without troops, the Germans promised not to attack it if it remained so. A late dispatch from The Hague says that no attacks seem yet to have occurred in Holland on non-military objectives. This afternoon, however, the Germans claimed that the German city of Freiburg im Breisgau, also an open town, had been bombed and 24 civilians killed, and each side warns of reprisals if the other doesn't stop it. An air raid alarm was reported from Paris about an hour ago, and all over England, people have been warned to be on guard tonight against parachute troops dropping during the blackout. The only bombs dropped on Switzerland appear to have been a mistake, but the Swiss are conducting a general mobilization nonetheless. And just before all this began, the British announced that they had occupied Iceland, so far as we know, without protest, to prevent its seizure by Germany. Winston Churchill has replaced Neville Chamberlain as British Prime Minister and will form a coalition cabinet. Its membership has not yet been announced, but Chamberlain will stay in it somewhere. Resigning, Chamberlain said that new and drastic action must be taken to restore confidence. The French Premier Reynaud took into his cabinet the prominent extreme conservatives Louis Morin and Jean-Yves Barnegaray. Italy is still quiet, and a broadcast on the Rome radio this evening says that it was the blockade more than anything else which prompted Germany to carry the war into new regions where little resistance was expected. This is in flat contradiction of the reasons given by the Nazi leaders for the invasion. Ribbentrop's claim that occupation of the Low Countries anticipated by only a day an Allied attack on Germany with Dutch and Belgian consent, and Goebbels' argument that the Dutch and Belgian governments had plotted a revolution in Germany. And that's the news to this moment.